So I want to address something because some people may say, well, you know, is it biblical? You know, is it biblical for us to be covering this and going over this and dealing with votes? Because we are a nonprofit. You ever hear that? Wait, we're a nonprofit, you know? Yes, we are a nonprofit. But we have a responsibility to disperse information for the community and to do whatever we can to make people's lives better. And this is what, like a J. Vernon McGee says, this is where the rubber meets the road. The Bible says faith without works is dead, right? That being said, we see things that needs to be taken care of on a day-to-day basis, and we want to do what we can to help in those areas. And so we want to transform the words that's in the book to our everyday life, okay? If we don't do that, our faith is in vain, okay? So we want to take what we're reading, what we're studying, and we want to transform it into our lives. And part of that is helping others. Is that right? So some people say, well, why are we doing this as it relates to church service and you know, whether or not a church should be doing this? The thing is, there are some biblical principles that support the fact that we as a church should be informing the community of what's going on in the community. So, first of all, participating in our election process is not only a civic duty. We hear people say, well, this is a civic duty. Yes, it's a civic duty. That's something that we should be doing. That's a civic duty. But did you not know it's also a biblical duty? A lot of people don't know that. But we have a biblical responsibility, amen, to look around us and see what's going on and do something about it. Is that right? So, it's not only a civic duty, but it's a biblical duty to select people to govern, and those people who will display integrity, compassion, service for others, and not for themselves. Okay. All right. So in Judges, the 21 and 25, I'm going to read this. It says, in those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Right. And this is the reason why we need a leader. So the Bible says that when in this instance, when it says king, usually when you read king, a lot of times you can understand that as leaders. Okay? So when we don't have a leader, the Bible says everyone did what was right in their own sight. That could be good or bad, right? And so that's the reason why we want to choose people that are people of integrity and those types of things, honesty and have a concern for people. Is that right? And a lot of times, you know, all you have to do is just, you know, ask questions and things like that. Jeremiah 29, 7 through 9, it says, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare, you will find your welfare. Right? So what that means is you take a concern for what's going on in your community. And you seek to make sure that things are right in your city, then things will be right in your life. For instance, crime. If you have a situation with crime and you seek to try to, you know, clear that up in the community, then things are going to be better for you, right? That's biblical. Did you know that? That's biblical. Some people think that when you become born again, you just come into the body of Christ, you sit down, and you wait for the coming of Jesus Christ. Not about that. It's transforming into our lives every day, all right? Okay. Jeremiah 1 and 13. It says, choose for your tribe. That means, you know, our cities in this case, we're going to bring it to today, life. It says, wise, understanding, and experienced people who I will appoint them as your head. So that being said, what that means is that it's our responsibility to choose. It's our obligation, it's our duty to choose who? Wise, experienced, and we shouldn't get so frustrated with the political process that we just choose anybody, right? Because we see what's happening right today, all right? So we want them to be wise, you know, of wisdom, willing to seek godly counsel. You know, and the Bible says that's a good thing if we're willing to do that. Okay, so it says here, but we have to understand something which a lot of time we don't realize is that God gives authority to governments to rule. And that's found in Romans, the
the 13th chapter is one of the scriptures. It says, let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. So even governments receive their authority, and it's delegated authority, by the way. So even if a government does something that's against the concepts and against the laws of God, God will judge that. Leaders, we see in other countries that may be doing things that we see it may not be right. Guess what? If you go over to Revelation, we will find out that not only we as individuals will be judged, right? But the Bible said governments will be judged. And if you look at Revelation, you see that not only God, he doesn't judge people, he judged nations. That's governments. Is that right? So we all have to give account to God, whether we're people or nations, kings or presidents. It says, and those that exist have been instituted, delegated authority to rule as a government, and governments, as I said in Revelation, have to give account of God. So bottom line is, God also gives governments the authority to rule and have governments and set up councils and have law enforcement and all of these things. That's ordained by God. And then we, as believers, our responsibility is not only to support those things, but to pray for them as well. The Bible says pray for everybody that are in positions of authority, those who rule over you. So we should be praying for all the political leaders. Is that right? Whether we agree with them or disagree with them. Is that right? 1 Peter 2:13-17 says, be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the king or to governors as sent by him, to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. It says, live as people who are free. That's good. It says, not using your freedom as a cover up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone. That means when we look into the political system, we should be what? Honoring everybody, every group of people. We should be separating and make one group of people bad and the other group of people good. We should honor everybody, right? Do what is right to everybody. Here's one that's interesting I came across. In Proverbs 29:2, it says this, when the righteous increase, the people rejoice. That's good. That means when the nation and locally, when things are being being operated right and people are up walking in righteousness, then it says the people rejoice. What are we seeing right now? People are not rejoicing, are they? They are hitting the streets and they got signs and they are really upset about losing their health care and these types of things, right? But let me show you what the other side of this says. When the righteous increase, the people rejoice. But when the wicked rule, the people groan. That's heavy. That's heavy. We need to think about that. That's why we need to be a part of the political process, even as believers. Right. So we can help make those decisions and vote for those individuals that's going to be right and do right for the people. Right. 2 Corinthians 13:11. It says, finally, brothers, rejoice. It says, aim for restoration. This is what we should be seeing in our nation. Amen. Even in our states, in our local cities, we should be aiming for restoration. Right. Right. That means to rebuild. Right. Put everything back together and everybody's moving, operating together. Right. Not tearing each other apart and dividing everybody in this group over here. And, you know, because the Bible says a nation divided will not stand or a kingdom divided will not stand. So we're going to have to do something to bring people together. Otherwise, look out. It says, aim for restoration, comfort one another. Now, I wonder if there's a whole lot of people walking around today being comforted, right? I would say, comfort one another. Let everybody know that, you know, everything is going to be all right. But we have to make sure we do what we can do to make sure what? Everything is all right. We want people to be able to live their lives in peace. And that's what it says. It says, agree with one another. Mm-hmm. Here it is. It's not about conflict. We should be seeking to agree with one another. Yeah, we may have some disagreements, but at some point or another, we need to come together. It says, live in peace. That's a good one. Live in peace. That's God's objective for his family of believers, that we can live a peaceable life. Not everything in uproar and things, you know. Live a peaceable life. It says, for the God of love and peace will be with you. All right, here's my last one. 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2. It says, first of all, I urge that supplications, that's be spelling out your in your prayer life, right? Don't be, you know, don't have just kind of like a boilerplate prayer. All right. God wants you to be specific because he's specific. He knows exactly what we're going through. And, you know, when we pray unto the Lord, but he wants us to be specific in our prayers. Right. You have a relationship with him. Talk to him like you would talk to me. Amen. In that sense of, I mean, I'm talking about common conversation. All right. We want to honor him. Right. But bottom line is you could talk to him. That's what all prayer is about, is having a talk with God. Amen. That's the relationship that we have with him. You know, we make it very convoluted and complicated, but it's real simple. Just talk to God. That's prayer. First of all, prayer and supplication and intercession. I'm sorry, prayer. So we know there's different kind of prayers. So I'm not going to go into that now, but there's various kinds of prayers, like prayers of thanksgiving and, you know, prayers of petition, and intercession is another one. But it says that here, intercession, meaning you praying on behalf of somebody else. If you're not praying for yourself and you're praying for your neighbor that has cancer, that's intercession. If you're praying for your nation, that's intercession. Praying for your president or your local leaders, that's intercession. You're interceding. God is looking for that as believers, right? We should be, you know, everybody, you know, we're complaining, but we should be also praying, right? That's intercession. Intercede. That's God said he's looking for somebody. A mediator, a daysman is what the Old Testament calls somebody that will stand in between and lay their hands on man and lay their hands on God. Make that connection, really, is what it's talking about. And that's through prayer. That's intercession. Somebody say intercession. Intercession. And then we should thank the Lord. Right. Part of our prayer should always be with thanksgiving. Even if you're praying to God, you haven't received it yet. Before you get up off your knees, you should be thanking the Lord for it. Some people say that doesn't make sense. Why would I thank God? I haven't even received it yet. Well, that's where faith comes in. Right. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That means you haven't seen it yet. You haven't received it yet. But you're thanking God for it because you believe that God is faithful and that by your faith, you prayed unto the Lord and asked him for it. And he said, I'm your father and I'm going to look out for you. Right. And it may not come today. It may not even come tomorrow. It may not come next week. It may not even come next year. But how long will you wait on God? Faith will help you to wait until God brings it to pass. Someone that once asked me a question in a Bible study. How long should I wait on God? What's the answer? Until it comes to pass. Abraham and Sarah had to wait how long before God answered their prayer? 24 years. How many people would stay and keep on believing God for 24 years? And everybody is talking about this. Where's your God now? 24 years. How many of us would wait 24 years for an answered prayer? That's a long time to wait. But the Bible says that you hold on to believe by faith, you're going to receive the thing that you believe the Lord for. But if you give up too soon, and the biggest mistake that a lot of people make is that they give up too soon. My encouragement to you, my brothers and sisters, whenever you pray to the Lord, don't give up too soon. So I know we're seeing a lot of things that's going on in our community, in our nation, in our state. Don't give up too soon. But you got to be in the active part. And that's what I'm closing with. Somebody say active part. You know, things kind of just happened. And, you know, I started off being a part of the association just to help them out with their taxes. And somehow I got, you know, pulled in. I ended up being, you know, the CFO. And then I kind of got pulled in. And then I start going to some of the meetings and start seeing some things that's very disturbing. And then I came to realize there's a lot going on with that we don't know about. And I came to realize that we have to start participating more on a day-to-day basis, what's going on around us. Because if you don't participate, other people are going to make decisions for you. Right? And I'm coming to realize it's not always on your behalf. When you have money and things like that involved with politics, sometimes people make decisions that's not always good. But we have to be that constant reminder to do what's right.